To the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis, the second chapter, please. Second chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll start reading at verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you today for your wonderful grace. I thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you today, Father, for those who've come to this place to hear the Word of God preached, to sing and praises unto your name, and to just be here in worship of you. Now, Father, we need you today. We need your power. We need you to be uplifted and exalted above every other name. Oh, God, please help this preacher to say the right things, to be what I should be today as I present this message you've given us. Lord, help us now. If there's any here unsaved, O God, let that person be saved. One unto you, Father, bring them unto yourself. And now, Father, for every Christian, every person that's here, O God, we need your help. And I trust that you'll do that for each one of us this day. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Going to bring a message this morning. I've just decided to entitle it The Family Sermon. It's going to be about the family this morning, and I was trying to hunt for a better title, and I thought I'm just going to call it The Family Sermon. What we're going to do is hit every area the best we can this morning of the family. And we're going to look at some things that will not be in depth. We're going to say a lot of things that I believe needs to be to happen in our families. There won't be a lot of depth, but be a lot of information that I believe will help you this morning. I believe with all of my heart, one of the greatest tragedies in America today is the breakup of the family. And it's a tragedy. The home and the church are the two institutions that Satan hates. And he'll do anything he can to break up both of those. He'll do anything he can to destroy the home. He'll do anything he can to destroy the church. A good family has a good church. If you're going to be a good family, you're going to have a good church. Amen. And if you're going to have a good church, you got to have good families. You see, a good church is made up of families that love God and want to serve God and walk with God and mind His word. You see, that's what a good church is made up of. But I'm really serious when I say this. Most families, and I won't say most, I shouldn't say most. A lot of families are on the rocks. Marriages are on the rocks. And the reason they are is because they're not building their home, their marriage, and their family on the rock. Now, I've said this before. I've said it. I will not hesitate to say it. I will not apologize for saying it. If we will take the Bible, the Word of God, and build our family according to the Word of God, what God says, it will not fail. Now, it cannot fail, because that kind of love, the Bible says, never faileth. So what I'm simply saying to you is, let us put the problem where it belongs. Let's get back to the Word of God. Let's get back to doing what God says. He's told us how to function as a family. He's told us how to do that. It's not easy, folk. It's not easy in this old world. It's tough business. Oh, Satan's fighting all the time to try to disrupt homes and churches, and he's doing a pretty good job of it. But a lot of that's our fault because we let him. I'm just simply saying, as a family, as a married couple, as a family, God loves you, and he wants a good, solid family. He wants it built around him. Doesn't mean there won't be difficulties, but he has the answers for all difficulties. And I'm just simply saying to you folks, we need to get back to the Bible, the Word of God, to build our family on. Amen? Yeah, you know, some folk maybe didn't get saved later in life. It's pretty hard to go back and make up all that. But I'm saying to you, you can do it. You can start from where you are. You can go on from where you are because God's a loving, wonderful God. And he loves us and wants to help us, you see. God has a lot to say in his Word about family, about marriage. He has a lot to say for your family, for your marriage. He wants you to build it upon the Word of God around him. Amen. I look back and I think I was 26 years of age when I got saved. We had all of our children was born. And I look back and I think, boy, how wonderful it would have been to have been saved when we first started having children. Before we started having children. How wonderful that would have been. I look back on that many times. I could have been a better father. I could have been a much better husband back in those days. You see, I wasn't. I can't help that. I can't go back. But I always said to myself, I can go from where I am. And I want to build my marriage. I want to build my family for the glory of God. Amen. That's what we want for you. Amen. That's what we want for you. I just wanted to make some statements. I'm going to talk about the home a little bit today. I want you to know this here, what that I read to you was the very first home in the Bible. That was the first one. And God said it was not good for a man to be alone. It was God's plan to put man and woman together. Let me say to you, it's man and woman, not man and man. I think you're smart enough to understand that. Amen. You don't have any trouble with that. I don't know whether you knew it or not, but it came out in the paper over in Bloomington, Indiana. There's a new radio station that was started. It's a radio station to start a gay-oriented show. It goes on for an hour, and it deals with homosexuals. And it's on the radio, I guess, every week. I don't listen to it. Amen. I don't know what's on there or not, but the paper said it was going to start. Well, folks, listen. That's just another way of Satan's trying to tear up the family life. You have any wisdom whatsoever, you know it's a man and a woman. That's what God put together here. He put Adam and Eve together. It's a man and a woman. It wasn't a man and a man. Amen. Now, I've got that off my chest. Is that okay? Y'all agree with that? Amen. That's where we're at. But anyway, he's doing everything he can to destroy the family life, to disrupt what God had intended for the family. So he said it was not good for man to be alone, and he gave him Eve. He took a rib out of Adam, and he made woman out of that rib. She came out of man. It's a wonderful thing, wonderful, wonderful story. I want you to know that God made this woman for a helpmeet to her husband. That's what God said. He said he needed a helpmeet. He needed a completer. A man that understands he's married, he's incomplete without his wife. It's true. He's incomplete without her. God made the woman to be a completer, not a destroyer. It was to complete the man, not to tear down the house, but to build up the house. Amen. So God did that, you see. And God said that the man is to leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Okay, so it's a very special union that God has given us. It's a very wonderful, precious union that God has given man and his wife. In fact, he even says they've become one. Amen? I mean, they've become one. What hurts Donna hurts me. What hurts me hurts Donna. We're one. Now, whether you think you're one or not, the Bible says when you got married, you become one. Amen? Get back to remembering that. You're very, very important. That partner God has given you is very, very important. The Bible says early in the scriptures that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. God says that when a man and wife marry, God says don't let any man, and that means you, that means someone else, put asunder. That's what God says. Now, you know, I'm preaching to all kinds of people here in all kinds of different situations. I'm trying to share with you what God's intention was. I'm not wanting to put anybody down or trying to criticize or demean anybody. I'm just trying to tell you what God's intention was from the very beginning of time, was that when he put two together, he didn't want any man to put them asunder. Amen. And in fact, in the book of Romans, 7th chapter, book of Romans, he tells us that this marriage should be unto death. Death would be the only thing that would part that marriage. Now, that's what God says. That's God's plan. Amen. You got that? I mean, you agree with that? That's what God says, you see. All right, so he tells us that, and he tells us there's two things that are very honorable in the marriage. God says marriage is honorable. I want you to know that marriage is honorable. It's a wonderful thing. It's a right thing. It's a proper thing, because God is the one to ordain this. He also says in the book of Hebrews that the bed is undefiled. It is a right and proper thing for there to be intimacy between a husband and wife in the marriage situation. Not outside the marriage situation. In the marriage situation. Amen. So it's an honorable thing. The bed is an honorable thing, God says. Marriage itself is an honorable thing. Amen. Quit looking down on marriage. Marriage is blessed. Marriage, God says, is an honorable, good thing. You know, we hear people talk today, and it upsets me, you know. Man will talk about his wife, and wife will talk about her husband, run down and all this stuff. That's foolishness. You know, that's not scriptural. Amen. We need the right, proper relationship, you see, and we need to get back to that. So what does God say the husband's responsibility to his wife is? I told you, won't be a lot of depth in this. I'm going to cover a lot of area. I'll also talk about the wife's duties to her husband. I'll talk about the parents' duties to their children. And I'll talk about the children's duties to their parents. So it's going to be quick. You listen fast, okay? And I'll talk fast. We'll get this. We'll take. But I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Now, husband's duty to his wife. I want to give you the things. First thing that God said to do is the husband is to cleave unto his wife. Now, that word cleave means a clevis. If any of you have ever been on a farm, it's a U-shaped thing with a bolt down through here, and you cleave it. And I used to hook up a plow back in the days before the hydraulic deals. When I worked on a farm, you hooked up a farm with a clevis. I hooked up a plow with a clevis. I hooked up a disc with a clevis. I hooked up a planter. A corn planter with a clevis. That's the way everything is different now, but they used a clevis. You hook the tractor to the planter or whatever it was with a clevis. God says the man and his wife are to be hooked together with a clevis. They're to cleave together. I was telling when I preached down at Brother Markets last week, I was telling him about the relationship. I think it was there. I believe it was. Our relationship with me and my wife. The reason my wife and I know each other so well is because we spend a lot of time together. For 46 plus years, for close to 47 years, we've spent a lot of time together. We are still individuals. She is her, I am he, me. But we spent a lot of time together. I've got to know her very, very well. She knows me very, very well. We are clevis together, have been for 46 plus years. And God says that's the way it's supposed to be in a marriage. You're to be clevis together. You're to cleave together, God said. A man is to leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Amen. And vice versa. She's to cleave unto him. Not only that, in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 25th verse, I'll give you some references. We're not going to turn to all of them. But God says a man is to love his wife. Now, folks, that is not a suggestion. That is a command. God says you're to love your wife. Amen. How is he to love her? As Christ loved the church. Now, you can't get by that, folks. You got to remember that. God says, man, you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? Enough to give up his life for it. Enough to die for it. Now, God says to the man, you're to cleave to your wife and you're to love her. Amen. Bible say that? Amen. Bible says that. You're to love her, God says, you see. And he's to love her just like Christ loved the church. The Bible also says in verse 28 of the 5th chapter of Ephesians, it says that man ought to love his wife as he would love his own body. Now, we men, we all pretty well care about our bodies. We get up and we wash our faces, we shave them, when we're hungry, we eat, don't we? You know, I want to tell you, when there's food around, get out of the man's way. One thing he wants to do is he wants to eat. Amen. And sometimes more than he ought to. But anyway, we do that. I'm just saying to you, God says that if you love your own body, you're to love your own wife that way. She ought to be as important to you as your own body, or maybe even more important than your own body. Understand? You see, you're to love your wife. That's instructions from God's word. You're to love her. You say, I know, but she's not lovable. It doesn't make any difference. You're to love her. God didn't say, if she's lovable, love her. Did he? He said, do you love your wives? Amen. That's what God says. So men were to love our wives. Another thing, the Bible says that a man is supposed to provide for his wife. A man, the Bible says, is worse than an infidel if he does not provide for his own family. He's worse than an infidel. He is to provide for his family. He's to take care of his family. That's God's word. Amen, men? Amen. We're to take care of our family. See to their needs. Amen? Not only that, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3rd chapter 7th verse that a man is to honor his wife. That means to esteem her highly. To treat her with dignity. To be something very precious. Honor her. Amen? Well, just ask yourself, men, do you honor your wife? Do you treat her as something very special and precious that God has given you? That's what God said to do in his word. Not only that, he talks about in 1 Corinthians 7th chapter 3rd verse to render due benevolence to his wife. The word benevolence means kindness and goodwill. We're to treat our wives with kindness. Show them goodwill. Someone who God has given to us, a very special person that God has given, and we're to treat them with kindness. Amen? Amen. Men, now that's what God says. God says we ought to do. Is that right? Amen. Let's get back to doing what God says. You see, this will take care of a lot of the problems in marriages. If we'll just get back doing what God said to do. Men, we need to treat our wives with kindness and show them goodwill. Amen. They're different in you. I'm not only just talking about in looks. They're different in you and inside. They're not going to look at things like you look at things. They're not going to feel like you feel. You need to learn how they look at things and how they feel about things. You need to learn that so that you can treat them with kindness and grace. Amen. As a good husband to the wife. The Bible also says for a husband not to defraud his wife. It's talking about intimacy in a marriage. I'm not going to go into that a lot. There's young people here. But I want you to know he said that you're not to defraud your wife. Okay? Also says that he is to be the head of the wife, of the home. You know, that doesn't mean dictator. But let me say to you, it means he's to be in the place of leadership. God said that in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. He is to be in the place of leadership. I'm talking about men right now. We'll talk about ladies in a moment. He is to be in the place of leadership. Men should take the place of leadership in their home. Should lead their home in the directions it's going to go. And let me say to you, we do that whether we think we do or not. Amen. We're to lead them. We're to lead them spiritually. We're the one to take the lead. A man should take the lead in the spiritual things of a family. He should take the lead. He should be the spiritual person. Sure, she will be spiritual. Sure, she'll love the Lord. But he should be the spiritual leader of the home. Not only the spiritual, but he also should be the physical leader of the home. He should set the example and be the leader in that home. Amen. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Don't get aggravated at this. That's what God says. Now God's word says that. Don't you agree? God says that, and we men need to get back and take the leadership. We can't dump it all on to the wife to do all of this. We need to take the leadership of the home. We're to set the example. We're to put our Bibles under our arm and march off to church on Sunday morning. And Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever night. We're to take the leadership in the home. Amen? Sure. That's what God said a man is to do. Now let's look for just a few moments what it says. There is so many things I could have said, but I'm just trying to give you some good points. Just some good things. Men, we need to get back to the Bible about being a husband and a father. We need to realize that God says a lot about that. And he expects us. And a lot of the breakup, the reason a lot of marriages are on the rocks is because they're not establishing it on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. A lot of problems could be taken care of in the home if we just get back to what we are supposed to do in leadership in our home. Now, let's look at the duties of a wife. First of all, she is to submit to her husband. Now listen to me, ladies. You know, I've heard this. I've fought this battle all down through the years. I've preached it. I've been preaching it now for 33 years. A lady is to submit to her husband. You want to take that as a negative thing. That's not a negative thing. It is a right and proper thing. You'll find out you're going to have a happier life if you'll submit to your husband's leadership. He's in the place of leadership. Submit to that leadership. Amen? Show that in your actions towards your husband. Instead of rebelling and standing against your husband, submit to his leadership. He's not going to always make the right decisions. He will make mistakes. You've made mistakes in your life. I've made mistakes in my life. And most of the time, that's the way I've learned, is by making mistakes. Your husband will not always be perfect. He always won't make the best decisions, but he'll learn from those decisions. Submit to his leadership. I've always said, yes, appeal to him. Share with him what you feel. But don't boss him around. There's no man wants to be bossed. The dumbest thing you can do is try to boss your husband. And you may think that's silly, but it's the dumbest thing you've ever done, because he's going to rebel against that. Okay? But submit to his leadership, because God says to. Am I right? The Bible also says that she's to reverence her husband. That means to show respect to her husband. Let me say this to you. One of the worst things you can do, lady, is to speak unkindly about your husband in the presence of others. That is a dumb thing to do. Don't speak unkindly, but show respect to him. He's not perfect. Amen? Show him respect and reverence. When you go around speaking unkindly about your husband, you are doing him a great disservice. And I want to tell you something. God will never, ever, ever honor that. Okay? It's getting quiet. You have no business going around talking about your husband in an unkind, negative way. If you have something you want to say to your husband, say it to your husband. Speak to him about it. Okay? Now, another thing a lady is to do is she's to guide the home. Let me say something. We're living in a generation where there is so many women that is working. I want to make a statement about this. If you are working and that work interferes with your work that you need to do and care for your husband and the running of the home, you need to quit. If that work interferes with you being a mother and caring for your children and not giving your children first place, but second, third, fourth, fifth place, you need to quit. For you was not put in the position of a wife to earn a living, your husband was. And your husband and your children should have that which God has intended for them to have from you. And if you can't do that and work, you need to quit. But it's more important that you build good, solid marriages and families than it is for you to have the extra bucks. Because here's the thing that gets me. Folks, I've been preaching now close to 34 years. I've seen this. I've seen families literally just fall apart. It grieves me because they never look ahead. They think, well, for now, this is what I need to do right now. They forget that what's happening right now is the very most important days of their life. Their marriages are being united together. Relationships are being sealed. And children are being brought up and being trained. Listen to me. God never intended, He never intended for somebody else to raise your children. Never intended for that. He intended for you to raise your children. And I don't apologize for saying that because it's scriptural. It's right, it's proper, it's scriptural. Amen. I'm trying to help you, ladies. I'm trying to help you to think that it's more important what happens to your children and what's going to happen down the road to them. Because you see, they're just little things now, or maybe they're like this, but I want to tell you, they're going to be adults one of these days. And what's going on right now is going to affect the way they will be for the rest of their life. It's more important that you build your marriages and you build your family to the glory of God now, amen, than to just have a few extra bucks. I'd rather see you just have the very necessities of life, food and raiment and nothing else. I'd rather see you have that than to ruin your family. For it's more important. Amen. So they're to guide the home. If you should be here and you have an unsaved husband, the Word of God in 1 Peter 3rd chapter instructs you to live a godly life before that individual. It doesn't tell you to jam the Bible down his throat. It doesn't tell him to jam your self-righteousness down his throat every time he turns around. You're to live before him a godly, godly life, one that shows forth Christ. Set the example. And God says he'll be one without a word. And that word there speaks of not the word of God, but it speaks about you won't have to say a word if you'll show forth your godliness. If you want an unsaved husband, live godly. Do what the Bible says. Love him. Care for him. Do everything you can to win him to Christ through godly living. Amen. Responsibility of a wife. And once again, I'll make it very short, but the Bible says for a wife not to defraud her husband. Speaking once again in intimacy of the marriage. Ladies, many ladies across this country wants to use that as some kind of a weapon against their husband. You're making a big mistake. God says not to defraud your husband, not to hold yourself back from your husband. Work it out between the husband and wife in a way that is honorable and understanding for both and meets the needs of both. I can't go into depth. I could with talking to men and ladies, but I'm just saying to you, you need to work that out in your marriage, not to defraud one another. Care enough about the other one that their needs are met. Do you understand me? See, if we get back to doing things scriptural way, we'll be able to have a much happier and a better marriage. Amen. Parents' duty to their children. I think that if we would recognize that God has said in His Word that children are a heritage, they are a heritage from the Lord. If we will remember from whom gave us those precious children, it was God Almighty. He placed them in our care for us to raise them for His glory. These children are very special, special people that God has put on this earth and given us the privilege of being parents over. And it's to the parents that God has said they are to train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Church helps in the training of your children and should. There's many things that help in that training. Schools help in the training. Churches help in the training. Friends help in the training. But it is the duty of the parents to train up the child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And the nurture means discipline of the Lord. God puts that responsibility upon the parents. You can't go around and say, well, this isn't being done in my child's life. Then do it. It's the duty of the parents to see that it's done. Amen. He didn't tell the parent to let the TV be the trainer of the children. No. In fact, I would say to you, if you have a TV in your home, guard it carefully. I'm going to make another statement. I know some of them are probably going to get mad at me, but it's all right. I think one of the most foolish things you can do is put a TV in a child's room and let him go into his room and close the door with no control over what that child is watching whatsoever. Because all you have to do is sit down for 1 or 2 hours in front of a TV, and I want to tell you, you'll realize you most, in fact, probably 99% of it, you wouldn't want your child to see. The Bible says that we're to train up our children. Nurture and admonition means the discipline and instructions of the parents to the child. We're to oversee their training. Amen? You know, it takes work to be a parent. Pastor Ross, don't look out here at any parent and say, oh my goodness sakes, you know, you've got it made. You don't have it made. It takes work. It takes discipline to be a good parent. I was a parent. I realize I've made my mistakes. I've done all of those things. But I want to tell you, it's work to be a good parent. And children need the discipline. I want to say to you that children need to learn to obey without question. So listen to me a moment. If you have any understanding whatsoever, you've seen this yourself, but listen to me. When you don't teach a child to obey the first time, you're teaching them that it's all right to do it once or twice or three times before they have to obey. A child does not need to have an explanation of why they should obey. There may be times when you may want to give them an explanation of why you ask them to do something, but that should not be the reason why they do it. A child should be taught to obey the very first time. When do you want that child to obey? When you tell them, that little sweet child, not to run out into the street in front of a car? The first time or the second time or the third time? They need to be a habit of their life that they immediately obey when they're told to do something. Now, I understand that from a little one up, it takes time to teach them all these things. And little ones don't have all the understanding, and that you got to look at it at the age they are and train them. But you got to train them early, as the Bible says. We'll talk about that in a minute. Train them early, but you've got to train them to obey. These children at 1 year old, or probably younger than that, can learn to obey. And they need to learn to obey the first time. Second time is disobedience. See, if you will train them and help them to understand that when you speak about something, you've told them to do something, they ought to do it immediately. Okay? You know what you're doing? You're helping them for the future. You're helping them when they go out on their own, when the boss tells them what to do. You're helping them when they go into the military, if they go into the military. Amen, Daniel? I'm looking for Daniel. There he is. Daniel, I want to tell you right now, when Daniel went into the military, he did not go to his drill sergeant and say, "Now I got to think about this before I'm going to obey you." Why don't you tell me again? Second time. Well, I'm still not sure I want to do it. Daniel would not exist at that point. We would not have had the privilege of having our grandson back among us. Now, the military does not ask you whether you want to obey or not. You just do it. Now, you say, are you saying parents are military? No, but the same principle needs to be taught. Now, you say, what's that all about? It's all about because you need to teach them to do God that way. When God speaks, you do it. Because God said so. Amen. So, children, obey your parents. Parents, see to it that they obey. Amen. All you're doing is instilling into them good character for the rest of their life. Children should be taught to work. Listen to this old meaning. I believe when a child gets old enough to walk, they ought to be taught responsibility on how to pick up a piece of clothes, pick up a toy, where to put it. That's the beginning of training, and the beginning of training them how to work. No, mothers run around and they pick up this after them, pick up this after them, and they make them another mess, and they go around and pick up this after them. Teach them to work. Amen. Then you won't have some lazy boy one of these days or some lazy girl that won't work. Amen. Amen. Children should be taught regular habits. Good habits. Listen to me. I realize grandparents come to visit, realize friends come to visit. I realize there's things that change his schedules sometimes, but a child should have a regular bedtime. A regular bedtime, early enough to see to it that they get good training and good rest so that they'll be prepared for the next day. You can't keep your child up on Sunday morning, and Saturday night, and expect them to do right on Sunday. You get them a good night's rest. You expect them to do good in school, you get them a good night's rest. They ought to be a regular schedule of when they go to bed. Amen. Like I say, there's things can change that schedule, but it should not be far off. Amen. They need to have good habits of personal hygiene. You need to teach them to brush their teeth and to wash their hands and clean under their fingernails and so many other things. They need to be taught these things. And they ought to be trained to be neat and orderly. And parents, we have to set the examples for them if we expect our children to be neat and orderly. Children need to be taught that they need to live peacefully within the family unit. Fighting should not be allowed. They may be a skirmish, but it ought not to last but a very short moment. Fighting should not be allowed within the home. You go to fight within the home, you'll fight with other people one of these days also. You ought to teach them to respect the possessions of those in the home, the brothers and sisters, the mom and dad. They're their possessions, they're not yours. You need to teach them how to share your possessions. That's where you start learning these things. It's going to be skills for the rest of their life. Teach them how to share. Understand? Teach them how to share that which you have. Not only that, they need to ask forgiveness, and they need to learn to forgive. One of the greatest problems we have nowadays is folk don't want to ask forgiveness. Oh, I've seen this all of my life. No, they don't want to ask forgiveness. You know what? When you've done something that's wrong, you ought to learn to ask forgiveness. Amen. And you ought to learn to forgive. This all starts in the home. The child is going to be what the home produces. Amen. You ought to teach your children the right use of money. You ought to teach them to work for money, not expect it to be handed over to them. If you give your child money, don't ever give them money for things that they ought to be doing regularly. You ought not to pay your child to make his bed or to clean his room or to help in the kitchen or help outside. If you want to pay them for something, help it, make it be something that is very special, something extra. Folks, listen, can you imagine me going in to Donna and say, honey, I'm going to mow the yard, shell out. I go on in, she says, I'm going to fix you lunch. Can you imagine that? How foolish, and yet we pay our children to go make their bed, to clean their room, to do the things they ought to be doing anyway. Amen. Foolishness. Don't ever pay them for doing those things. That's responsibilities that they ought to have. They ought to be taught to tithe. When a child makes money, you ought to teach them to tithe. There's some people who don't tithe today, right now, don't tithe because he's never taught that when they was young. They were never taught tithing. So they don't do it today. You ought to teach your children tithe. They make a dime and gives a penny to God. And that comes from the home, training in the home. Amen? They ought to be taught how to spend money wisely. Not just blow everything they have. Folks, you ought to teach them how to save. Money is just because there's money there, it doesn't have to be spent. You know, we set such a bad example for buying everything that comes before our eyes. We walk into a store and we have to buy something because we got some money in our pocket and we don't even need it. You understand what this preacher's saying? That has to be taught in the home. You have to teach that to your children. Teach them to spend wisely. Not just blow money because it's there, because it exists. Not only that, children need some time with their parents. They go to school. They get up early, they go to school, they come home. I know they play, they do things, but need some time around their parents. So their parents can give them some instructions, and not only just instructions, but just spend some time with letting them know how much they're loved. Parents, we need to spend time with our children. That's one of the things I regret when I look back on my life. I didn't spend enough time with my children. No, I didn't spend enough time with them. I should have. So busy in life. Foolish. But I did it. I'm trying to warn you, don't do it. Spend some time with your children. They're very precious. They need you to spend time with them. Amen? You know what this all takes? Time and work. This does not just happen. You have to have a plan. You have to do it. You see, what happens today is most parents are so lazy and selfish that they don't want to take the time to spend with their children and do the training that needs to be done in their children's life for the future. That takes work. They either want instant results, they want it done right now, or they want somebody else to do it for them. Parents are to do it. Parents' responsibility to train our children, you see. Be sure and look at your children as God looks at your children. They're just little sinners. They have a sin nature in them. I had four of them. I know all about it. Now I've got 12 grandchildren. I recognize that sin nature. I never did have to teach one of my children how to be bad. They knew. Why? Because of the sin nature. Understand that and love them and help them, and especially help them come to Christ. Amen. There's so many things that I could tell you. I want to just a couple here, and we'll go quickly to the children's responsibility to their parents. God says that spanking is a right and proper way. We're to use the rod in a right and proper way. Spanking is correct. I don't care what Mr. Spock or any of the rest of them say. The Bible says spanking is correct. Amen. Now, we're to do that rightly. We're to spank them in the place that they're supposed to be spanked. God has a very special place. It's called a seat of learning. And it's a place where God intends for parents to spank their children, not other places. Amen. Not only that, it's to be applied in love. You're doing it because you love them. Not only that, it needs to be applied early in life, B times, as the Bible says, which means early. You get a child 10, 12 years old, and you want to try to start spanking him, and you want to try to straighten his life out, it's going to be a difficult thing. I think you should, but it's going to be a difficult thing. But God says to do it B time. That's what I said earlier about a little baby, a little child. A little child can get a smack on the hand and then look at you and still want to do the same thing. You know why? That's that old sin nature in them. And you got to correct that early in life. Amen? And you're to do it in an effective way. Don't just spank them in a way that was just going to make them mad. Make them feel it. No, make them feel it. Make them cry. That's the plan God has. I didn't say to beat them. I said to make them feel it. Make it cost. Disobedience costs. Amen? And you need to do it consistently. You don't do it one time, then you do it the next time. You don't do it the next time. You've just confused the child. They don't know what to do. Don't spank them for wrongs they don't know anything about. Don't spank them for last week's problems. And don't not spank them when you've told them you would. If you do that again, I'm going to give you a good spanking. So five more times later, he still hadn't got the spanking. You're sending a wrong message. You're sending a wrong message. Amen? Real quickly. Oh, one other thing. Don't ever apologize for spanking them. The Word of God says to spank them, to correct them. Don't apologize for it. Amen? Now, children, what's your duties to your parents? I'm just going to give you three things real quickly. First of all, the Bible says to honor thy father and thy mother. That's to esteem them very highly. Young people, you listen to me. You're to treat your mothers and fathers in a very honorable way. I've done a little study one time, and basically most of the times in the Bible where it talks about honor is two different things. It's words that you speak and actions that you do toward them. It's the way you speak to your parents. You're to speak to them with dignity and kindness and showing them honor. You know, it's like we was talking about a while ago, if she's lovable, you love her. You're saying if they deserve honor, that's when you honor them. You honor them because God said to. You honor them. Not only that, you listen to your parents' instructions. The Bible speaks a lot about the instructions of a father. I want to tell you something. You listen to the instructions of your father and your mother. Look them in the eye and listen to them and mind those instructions. Don't ignore them. Children, listen to what mom and dad is saying to you. Carefully. And then the Bible says to obey your parents. You're to do what they said. Didn't say if you want to. Amen. Bible tells us to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. I'll tell you, if you will, in a marriage situation, in a family situation, learn to love those that's in your family and care about them and treat them with kindness and tenderness, not because they deserve it, because God instructs you. You'll begin to build a marriage and a family that will be a blessing to you down the years and for a blessing to your family now. It takes work, folks. It takes work and diligence to build a family. I really could. I think I could stand here for another hour and just give you some things that we need to know. But I want you to know something. The most important thing in today's world, as far as I'm concerned, for the church is blessed homes. Where those homes are built on the foundation of the rock. And there'll be not near as many marriages on the rocks. Build your family God's way, not your way. It's not the easy way, but do it God's way. And the results will be wonderful. Amen? Many of the older people in this room have been married for quite a few years, and they would tell you the same thing. It takes work to build a family. It takes work to do that. It takes work to build a marriage. It takes just diligence. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Amen? Now, I'm just going to ask you this morning. I'm going to ask the moms, dads, wives, husbands. I'm going to ask you this morning to look at your life and look at what's going on within your home. And ask yourself, is this what God would want in my home? Is this what God would want? Is this really what is a God-directed marriage and a God-directed home? And if it isn't, I'm going to ask you to come down this aisle, get alone here at an altar, and get alone and ask God for forgiveness and go forth to build a good marriage and a good home. I'm going to ask you also that you say, my marriage is pretty good, my marriage pretty good. And I'm going to ask you to come and say, God, I'm going to continue to work on this and solidify this and make this a better marriage and a better home, better family. I'm going to ask you to give yourself to the Lord. I'm going to ask parents to say, concerning their children. I want to raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to do what's right for them. I want to build them for the future. Because it is going to make a difference, folks, down the road. It may not to you right now, but down the road it's going to make a difference. And then I want children to say, you know what, I'm going to obey my mother and father. I'm going to listen to the instructions. I'm going to honor my mother and father. I'm going to tell God today that I'm going to do that. I'm going to see to it that our family is built the way God wants it to be built, where God can take the family and use it for His glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your love and kindness to us. Thank you for who you are, your greatness, your kindness. Once again, I pray for families, Father. Lord, we need your help. We need your help in marriages. We need your help in homes and families and children and raising of them and all these things. We just need your help, Father. And I just pray that you'll take this time and work in hearts and deal with hearts to help us to be more like you and build our marriages and our family life around your word. Once again, I thank you for what you've done. I pray if there's anyone here unsaved, oh God, this be the day they'd come and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.